guests. We're especially glad you've come our way. We have several guests with us today. Thank you for being with us as we share from the Word of God. Please open your Bibles to the book of Malachi. That's the last book of the Old Testament, so my easiest way to do it is find Matthew and back up a book. And we're going to be in Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 through 16 in just a few moments. Tonight's sermon will be a little bit parallel to this morning's. It'll be one man, woman, one woman for life, a continuation on our theme for marriage this morning. We'll be talking about honoring God in our marriage covenants. In this brief series of three sermons from Malachi, the overarching theme is honoring God. Last week we noticed we honor God by offering ourselves as living sacrifices. God doesn't need our stuff. He needs our hearts. He needs us. He needs our broken spirit, a contrite and broken spirit you will not rebuff, David said in Psalm 51. Today we'll be listening as Malachi tells us a second way to honor God, and that is by being faithful to God in our covenants, the promises that we make. You may have heard these words before. Do you promise before God and these witnesses that you will be a true and devoted husband or wife? In sickness and in health, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, and forsaking all others, will you keep yourself for her or him only until God shall separate you by death? I think many of you have said, I do, to that covenant, haven't you? You said, I do, I will fulfill that vow. We hear that at wedding ceremonies, don't we? A number of decades ago, thousands of men packed stadiums across our country in an organization called Promise Keepers. The organization sought to promote covenant keeping, to encourage men to be faithful to their wives and to their children, to be promise keepers, if you will. You don't have to go to a stadium to be a promise keeper. You do have to keep your promises to God. You need to be faithful to Him, to your mate. You need to be faithful to Him, to your children. Now, we're not perfect, and I'm not saying being perfect to your mate, being perfect as a parent, but being faithful is our call before God. We live in a world where covenant breaking is all too common. Sometimes we find our covenants broken even when we did not want them broken. You've heard it takes two to make a covenant, right? Unfortunately, it can be broken by one. Often two are involved in the process. Sometimes divorce is a funeral for a marriage that's already died, a commitment that's already gone away, been put on the shelf, been gone, and then the divorce is a way of formalizing that. It doesn't make it any right. It just says that sometimes divorce is a funeral for a marriage that has disintegrated. God has called us to faithfully love, honor, and cherish our mates. It's a little like this. You got a tree in the backyard. Let's say it's a huge tree. And you got an axe in your hand. And you come out one day and you chop, 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 and you chop away about 5% of the tree. And really, nothing's harmed. You go away, the tree seems to be fine. Next day you come out, chop, 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 a little bit more. Another 5% gone. Next day you come back, chop, 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 another 5% gone. Next day you come back, chop, 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 chop. You get the picture, right? You don't want to be chopping the whole sermon, do you? But what we do see is sometimes we do this to our marriages. Sometimes in our relationships, what we find ourselves doing is doing those chop, 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 a little here. Next day, chop, 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 a little there. And what happens to that tree or to our marriage? Over the time, the strength of that tree trunk is weakened. And if you keep chopping away, even if it's just 5% a day, in time, the time will come when that tree stump, that tree trunk is not strong enough to hold the tree. And the storms of life will come and that tree will topple. And you'll go, what happened? And the same thing occurs in our marriage relationships. When we fail to respect each other, when we fail to love, honor, and cherish each other as we have promised, and we find ourselves chop, 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 next day, chop, 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 onto the trunk of our marriage, and then the storms of life come, and we wonder, what happened to the marriage relationship? My friends, God does not like divorce. We see that in verse 16 of our text. We'll see in just a few minutes. But what He does not like is covenant breaking, and we break the covenant a little at a time when we go chop, 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 chop in our marriage relationships, day after day, week after week. When we fail to bring glory to God by loving, honoring, and cherishing our mate, we're beginning to chop away at the foundation that holds us together. Brothers and sisters and friends, the little chops of life holds up. The little chops of life add up. Divorce happens to good people. It happens to Christian people. Divorce has come into the lives of some who thought that would never happen to them. But divorce is a painful situation. Sometimes the marriage dies because both parties were unfaithful in the little things, the little chops, chop, chops, to honor and cherish their life and their mate and their life did not happen, and the chops came. Jesus said it this way: "You've been faithful over a few things, I will put you in charge of many," Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. But the converse of that is also true. Unfaithfulness with the small things, little chop, chop, chops of life, leads us to unfaithful with the big things. You see, most marriages don't die overnight. They die over time by chop, chop, chops that come into our lives. And we fail to realize that we are breaking the covenant with the little chops of life, not just when we come to the point of a divorce decree, but when we're making those chop, chop, chops through our life of our marriage. And the force of Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 through 16, is that God's people are to strive to be covenant keepers, to love, honor, and cherish the one they have chosen to be with. Covenant keeping is one way we honor God. When we're men and women of our word and our promises, we honor God. Now we're going to look at the text. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Did not God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? This morning I'd like to share with you four truths about the covenant of marriage. And the first is found in verse 10. Brothers and sisters, in marriage we are in this together. We are one flesh, is what Scripture says in Genesis. Malachi tells us, we've all got the same Father. God created us. Let's not profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with each other. My thesis this morning is we break faith not simply with a divorce decree, but all those little acts of unfaithfulness in life that lead to the divorce decree. Let's remember, brothers and sisters, our spouse is not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. Now, Satan may use our spouse and get to our spouse, but Satan is the enemy. Our spouse is not the enemy. We're in this together. We all have one Father. God created us. We do not profane the covenant by breaking faith with one another. The Bible talks about this one flesh relationship, Genesis chapter 2. Adam and Eve were made one flesh before God. In fact, we even talk about it in our conversation today when we talk about, well, our other half, or when we're on our good days, our better half. We talk about that because we recognize the other half of our marriage relationship is a half of us. We are one flesh. I realize the one flesh recognition also includes sexual activity, but I think it's broader than that. It talks about the unity of this relationship, the unity that comes to this covenant that we make when we say we're going to love and honor and cherish our mates. Genesis 2:18 is God's first comment on marriage. It says, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Guys, I want you to hear that passage. It is not good for man to be alone. So God said, I will supply a need. I will make a helper suitable for him. God provides through our mates, gentlemen, helpers suitable for us. Because it's not good to be alone. We need that partnership. We need that union. We need that one flesh. We need to be one together in marriage. Brothers and sisters, we're in this together. I'm one slide behind. I apologize. Here we go. The point of Malachi 2:10 is since God is the Father of us all, we have a mutual responsibility to all men to keep our covenants. If that's true in the general sense, it's most specifically true in the sense of marriage. Even more so, we have the responsibility to fulfill our marital covenants because we are in this together. We are one flesh. We're on the same team. Point number two about God's covenant of marriage, verse 11 and 12. You don't make up for wrongs by gifts. Listen to what God says in verse 11 and 12. Judah has broken faith. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even if he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. The men of Judah had broken faith by marrying foreign women, non-Israelites. They were told in Deuteronomy chapter 7 not to do that, that the foreign women would lead them away to foreign gods. History proved that to be so. And Malachi's point is you don't make up for the unfaithfulness by giving gifts. See, the temptation is this. Okay, Lord, I messed up, so here, I'm going to bring a gift to the altar. I'm going to bring a sacrifice to the altar. And Lord, that'll make up for my sin, my rebellion. And God says, no, it really won't. Remember last week, the sacrifice that God really wants is what? A broken spirit and contrite heart. And when God has that broken spirit and contrite heart, then you'll bring the gift to the altar because you want to, not because you're trying to buy off God. Now, in our situation with our mates, the same thing applies. Husbands, have you learned, although it's good to apologize to your wife, you don't buy off your wife for the bad things you've done by bringing her gifts. What she wants is a broken and contrite spirit. Amen? She wants an apology. She wants a, I'm sorry, honey. I messed up, honey. What she needs is not a gift from you. What she needs is that broken, contrite spirit. That's what she needs. You can't make up for unfaithfulness with sacrifice. We certainly see that in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, where the Bible says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Malachi's point is that covenant breaking, that is marrying the foreign women, is not made up by sacrifices. We can't buy God off by sacrifices. What God wants is obedience. He wants our hearts. And that's true in the marriage relationship. We do not make up for our misdeeds by gifts, but by a broken spirit of repentance. Third truth from Malachi. Sin against our mate is sin against God, and God is a witness to our unfaithfulness. Look at verse 13 through 15. Another thing you do. You flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? It's because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth because what? You have broken faith with her. Notice that phrase. You have broken faith. You have broken promise. You have broken covenant with her. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he sought godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. The Lord acts as a witness of our unfaithfulness. Not only does he know it, he witnesses against our unfaithfulness. Not only did God refuse the sacrifices of unrepentant covenant breakers, but God's refusal of your sacrifices stands as a witness against the actions that you've committed. Now, this does not mean that God will not forgive us when we're sorry and we're repentant. Obviously, he will. Rather, this means that God takes our actions very seriously, and we should take them seriously as well. There are serious consequences of unfaithfulness in our relationship with God and our relationship with our mates. You and your mate are God's child. God has made you one. So notice verse 15. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Sometimes marriages get into a crazy cycle. You say, that happens every day at my house. Maybe it does. A crazy cycle kind of works like this. One mate is hurting and does something that hurts the other. Maybe they attack them or maybe they withdraw from them. Those are the two things that usually happens. Either an attack verbally or a withdrawal from them emotionally. Either way, what the mate's trying to say is, I'm hurting, hear me out. But they don't act it out right. And they start the crazy cycle. And then if the other mate doesn't respond appropriately, it reinforces the crazy cycle. and the crazy cycle gets crazier. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The argument ascends. The withdrawal recedes further and further. And the crazy cycle has begun. And there's only one way to break the crazy cycle. And that means you must be the transitional person that steps in and says, no matter when I am hurting when I'm attacked, no matter when I am hurting when I'm withdrawn from, I am going to treat my mate with love and respect, irregardless of what they do. Now, is that easy? Not on your life. Is it right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the only way that we interrupt the crazy cycle, or else the flesh gets to us and we start the fighting or we start the withdrawing. And pretty soon we find ourselves in deep trouble and we're wondering what happened, because we're responding by the flesh instead of by the Spirit. Listen to these words from Romans chapter 12. You know them. They're hard to do, but they're right to do. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends. Leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, when your enemy, you can read that mate, when your mate is hungry, feed them. When he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, see, you know that. Practicing it is a lot harder, but you know that. And that's how we interrupt the crazy cycle. As crazy as it sounds, you do good in return when you have been just dumped on. Jesus said, if you do good to those who love you, what reward is that? What credit is that to you? Even sinners do that, Luke chapter 6. So you've got to be a cycle breaker. Now, we've talked about thermostats and thermometers before, so one more time I want to review thermostats and thermometers. A thermometer simply reflects the temperature of the room. If it's 72 degrees, it says it's 72 degrees. A thermometer doesn't change the temperature, it just reflects it. And sometimes in our marriage relationships, that's what we're doing. We feel good things from our mate, we reflect back good to them. We hear hurt and anger from our mate, in the flesh, we reflect back that hurt. That's being a thermometer. We're just reflecting the relational temperature. We're not changing it. A thermostat changes the temperature. The thermostat's turned up, it warms things up. The thermostat turned down, it cools things off, right? My friends, be the thermostat in your marriage relationship, even when you don't feel like it. You can change the relational temperature, but you have to be intentional. And yes, it's not easy. And yes, it is hard. But yes, it is right. That's the way you interrupt the crazy cycle. You see, you can't change your mate. You can only change yourself. The fourth truth we find here is that God hates divorce. Look at verse 16. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. I hate a man covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Let's look at this verse correctly. The Bible says God hates divorce. He hates covenant breaking. God hates those little acts of unfaithfulness, those chop, chop, chops we talked about this morning, that may lead to divorce in time. And why does God hate divorce? Because it breaks covenant. What does God hate us breaking covenant? Because it hurts people. Have you noticed God is against things that are destructive? God is against things that hurt people. God recognizes that divorce hurts people. You see, a lot of times when a marriage is under a lot of strain, the first thing you think about is, well, we can just get a divorce and get it all over with. And we think that divorce is the way out of our pain. In reality, divorce trades one set of pains for another set of pains. You ask those who have been through the trauma of divorce, and you will find out that they've traded one set of pains for another set of pains. You see, divorce doesn't end the suffering, it just changes it. And here's an interesting statistic. Did you know that the majority of couples who are on the brink of divorce, 5 years later, if they hold tight in their relationship, things have changed enough that they will say they are happily married? That doesn't mean their marriage is perfect, but they're glad they're together, but they stayed together through the storm. When we run, when we think that the divorce is the easy answer, we've misread it. When we break covenant, it hurts us. That's why God is against divorce. It breaks covenant. It breaks our word, but it also breaks God's heart because God does not want to see His people suffering. Now, I realize the answer to a troubled marriage is not continued troubled marriage. It's counseling and it's change. And sometimes that's difficult. But let me tell you, it's not as difficult as the pains of divorce. In fact, in the New Testament, we have two examples that we find for divorce in the New Testament teaching of Jesus. One is adultery, when the covenant has been irrevocably broken, and the other is desertion from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That's all. God doesn't say when she turns the toast in the morning and when she's not nice to you, then you divorce her. No, you don't do that. You stay through the storms because one thing about the weather is it always changes. Now, I'm fairly new to California, so I've only been here about 2 years. And the climate in California is delightful. The traffic, not so much so. But the climate is delightful. The climate is the most consistent climate I've ever lived in. Not too hot here, not too cold, you know, kind of nice and middle range. All of that's wonderful. I moved here from Nebraska. Nebraska has cold winters. A warm day in Nebraska is when it gets above 32 degrees. It gets below zero quite often at night there. Let me tell you, that's cold. And the summers, the heat and humidity just come right down on you. And you suffocate with the heat and humidity. That was Nebraska. But there's a saying in Nebraska, if you don't like the weather, just wait a little while because the weather will. You knew that one, didn't you? And that's not just Nebraska. And the same is true about the climate of your marriage. When you're struggling through the problems of your marriage, the struggles that you feel now may be different a year from now. They can be different if you respond appropriately to them. God hates to see His people hurt. And covenant breaking hurts God's people. Now let me make it clear, God did not say He hates divorced people. That's not in this scripture. He hates the act of putting away. He hates the unfaithfulness. He hates the covenant breaking. He does not hate the people. He hates the action that brings hurt on the people. God loves the divorced, just like He loves everybody else. God just wants to save you from the pain of that. So the last words of Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16 are, guard yourself and your spirit so you do not break faith. Guard your heart. Satan wants your marriage destroyed. God wants it to be rich and full. And you get to cast the deciding vote. I know marriage is not easy. I know it's not always a bed of roses. Sometimes roses have some thorns, by the way. But we do not answer the problems of difficult relationships by fighting fire with fire, but returning good for evil. And breaking the climate and changing things from the inside by changing ourselves and our response to our mate. God wants us to quit chopping down at the tree of our relationships and not abandon our promises and commitments. God wants us to be faithful in those commitments. Marriage is one covenant that blesses us. Our covenant with Christ is another covenant that blesses us. So the question I end with this morning is, have you said, I do to Jesus Christ? We do that when we put our faith in Him, repent of our sins, we're buried with Him in baptism. We say, I do to Jesus Christ. We say, I commit to you, Jesus. I'm going to be yours. I'm going to be your vessel. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you. Will you do it perfectly? No. Will you do it faithfully? Yes. There are no perfect Christians, but there are faithful Christians, many in this audience this morning. and you can be a faithful Christian, a child of God, cleansed of your sins by the blood of Jesus, your life reoriented into a new way, being born again is what the Bible calls it, of water and the Spirit. But you've got to trust Jesus enough to let go of yourself and hold on to Him. And if you need to respond to the cross this morning, to the call of God in your life, to put Christ first, to not break a covenant, to have strength for the journey, to do the right thing. If we can be assistance to you this morning, we want you to respond to Jesus because Jesus wants the best for you and He wants you to be in Him. Let's stand together and let's sing.